Director of the Office of Management and Budget,
Support
Mr.
For
Scott
Illinois lawmakers
Harry.
Comes from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University.
The chair recognizes the majority
Carbondale.
Leader, Representative Curry.
Information available
Thank you, Speaker.
At
I
Paul
move for
Simon
the adoption
Institute.
Of Joint Session
.org.
Resolution 2.
Mr. Clerk, read Joint Session Resolution Number 2.
Welcome to live coverage of Governor Bruce Rauner's annual budget message to a joint session of the Illinois General Assembly on Illinois Public Television and Illinois Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Jack Titchener, along with Rich Miller, the CapitalFacts.com publisher, and Chicago Tonight correspondent Amanda Vinicky of WTTW. Good to have you both here. The governor is making his third budget address today to the General Assembly. What do we expect to be in this this message, Rich?
Well, he's going to talk a little bit about categorical spending for education, but he wants it full funded. He's going to talk a little bit about what he does and does not want in the Senate grand bargain as well. One of the things that he does not want is a sales tax on food and medicine.
Does he favor something to replace it?
I haven't read the speech yet. All I knew was what I found out last night.
Amanda, what are you hearing on the ground here in Springfield?
Well, similar, that he is finally going to weigh in on the Senate plan after he's been on the outside. That is something that I think we need to continue to mark the significance of, the first path toward any sort of budget. And the governor has stayed out of the fray. So now he's going to, it seems, begin to tell us a little bit of what he will swallow. And let's be clear, none of these are popular ideas, but the governor's passed. Budget addresses haven't contained much in terms of actual detail. He's just said, give me authority to make cuts. I think we're going to wait to hear whether there will be any of that this time around, as well as, again, will he actually abide by this Senate bipartisan plan if, in fact, it does get out of that chamber? That could make a big difference.
I think they want the focus to be on the Senate's grand bargain and not the budget that they're proposing today, because this is undoubtedly going to be in no way balanced as mandated by the Constitution. One of the things I think he's going to say today is that if you're going to propose a permanent income tax hike, which is what's happening in the Senate, then we need a permanent property tax freeze.
And that is something that's being fought adamantly by local units of government around the state, school districts, and so on.
Correct. Yeah, but I think he's willing to roll back that tax hike down the road somewhere, and therefore they could do a temporary property tax freeze.
Now, we haven't seen it officially out there yet because everything's embargoed until the noon hour as the speech
is
delivered.
Which is noon, so we're good.
but we've been seeing a list of cuts to higher education, to some different areas of state government that have been circulating. Is he finally making good on a list of cuts from what we know?
It may be that. It may be, again, we do have a law that says the governor is supposed to have a balanced budget. So this could be a scenario sort of like you heard from Governor Pat Quinn previously of laying out two different paths forward. Then again, I think the governor needs to
know.
Then again, you have the governor claiming and Republicans saying in order for us to go along with this bipartisan deal, we need to see some cuts. So this may finally be the demonstration of what Republicans want to see out of state spending.
The fact that he's weighing in on the so-called grand bargain that's been negotiated by Senate President John Cullerton and the Senate Republican leader Chris Redonia, is that basically a tacit admission that it's the only game in town at this point?
I think it is. I mean, I don't think this budget is going to last more than the time it takes them to read the address. The real game in town right now is the Senate grand bargain negotiations.
And how's that going? There was a move last week by the Democrats to try to get the Republicans off the dime, and they voted on some of the aspects of it separately.
Yeah, and the Republicans weren't ready to start voting on it yet.
That's in large part, you don't you think, in part because of Governor Bruce Rauner hadn't
right.
signed off on it. I mean, it's all connected.
Exactly. I think you make a very good point that the governor really needs to give them some political cover today, some assurances that he will have their back. The right flank of the Republican Party is beating the living heck out of these Republican legislators over these proposed tax increases.
They've also been beating on the governor.
Yes, they have. Not as formally or with advertising like they're doing with the
Senate governor can fight back. Let's be clear.
The applause.
In addition to the fact that it's also, I mean, he is the governor. So I think that he needs to, as he looks to re-election, establish a leadership role. And as far as conceded, it seems, to the Senate leaders, this is a day where he could try and regain some of that.
And the important thing I really think here is that time is a wasting. They need to get a budget, the sooner the better.
One of the things that the Senate President, John Cullerton, has said is you need to move on this thing pretty soon because the tax increases that are in there are retroactive to January 1. The longer this waits, the bigger the bite it takes out of people's paychecks when it finally takes effect.
Right. I don't think the governor's going to go for that retroactive thing, though.
The governor's about ready to begin his remarks. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Amanda. Appreciate it.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our guests in the gallery. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to members of the media. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to be with all of you. President Cullerton, Speaker Madigan, Leader Redonio, Leader Durkin, Lieutenant Governor Sanguinetti, Attorney General Madigan, Secretary White, Comptroller Mendoza, Treasurer Frerichs, members of the General Assembly, ladies and gentlemen, the occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. We must think anew and act anew. We must think anew and act anew. Abraham Lincoln. 2 years ago, our first budget address began with these same words. Though it's taken us 2 years to get here, the events of recent weeks make clear that together, Democrats and Republicans are now thinking anew. For the first time, legislators from both parties are standing together to say that Illinois must have structural change to grow our economy, create good jobs in every part of our state, that budgets must be truly balanced for the long term, and that to achieve balanced budgets, changes must be made to fix our broken system. On this, we all now agree. And that is real progress. Thank you. But it's not enough to just think anew. We must also act anew. For decades, our state passed unsustainable budgets, spent money we didn't have, borrowed and taxed to chase the spending, and drove job creators out of our state. Citizens in every community of Illinois know that we have been on the wrong track for years. The numbers speak for themselves. Since the year 2000, America has added more than 14 million jobs, while Illinois has lost jobs. Our neighboring states of Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Missouri have added, on average, more than 100,000 jobs in that time period. They've been pulling ahead while we've been falling behind. Our unbalanced budgets, our crushing tax burdens, our restrictive regulations, they've held back the Illinois economy for decades. For years now, families in Illinois have been voting with their feet. In just the last 6 years, we've seen a migration loss of more than 540,000 people. Think about that. They're leaving for jobs, higher wages, and lower costs of living. If we had the right policies, if we'd made changes to fix our broken system, if we had just grown our economy at the national average since 2000, we'd have 650,000 more jobs than we have in Illinois today. Think about that. Let me repeat that for emphasis. If Illinois were more competitive, if we had just grown Illinois' economy like an average state, today we would have 650,000 more jobs here. Just as important for our budget discussions we're having right now, if we had grown at the national average since 2000, even keeping our actual historic spending and taxing in place, we would have run budget surpluses. We would not have any unpaid bill backlog now. And today, we would have $8.5 billion more in cash to put into our schools, into our human services, and to reduce our tax rates. Think about that. Think about it. We would have good jobs in every community. We would have employers competing to hire workers. Our households would have more income. And we could have the best funded schools in America. And let's be clear, Illinois should never settle for being average. We are not average, we're the best. We should be one of the top 10 fastest growing states in America. We have the best people. We have the best location. We have the best agriculture. We have the best transportation. We are the heart of America. We have every reason to thrive. We can do this together. It's why I ran for governor, to deliver a better future for our children, to change the direction of our state, to put us back on the right path toward a growing economy, world-class schools in every community, not just some, every neighborhood, and restored trust in government. It's why we've been working for 2 years to pass a truly balanced budget, to create equal access to strong schools and good jobs. For 2 years now, we've been asking the General Assembly to help us unlock our state's unfulfilled potential. Today, we finally all agree that economic reforms must be part of a balanced budget solution. That is great news. Now is the time to seize the moment, build on the progress made in recent weeks, and right our ship of state. Together, we can make Illinois more competitive and more compassionate. We can make the necessary changes to fix our broken system. 2 years ago, our administration proposed a balanced budget. It contained more than $6 billion in cuts. Spending only what the state could afford at current revenue. But the majority in the General Assembly simply ignored our proposal, didn't discuss it, didn't debate it, didn't vote on it, just passed their own, your own, $4 billion out-of-balance budget. And so our current impasse began. Then we offered to work with members of the General Assembly, all members of the General Assembly, to find common ground on a mix of cuts, revenue increases, and reform. We convened bipartisan working groups, doing our best to find a way forward together. But the possibility of compromise fell victim to partisan divides. Last year, we proposed two paths to a balanced budget, two very different financial plans under which expenditures would not exceed available revenue. Our preferred option was once again to work together to reach consensus on a mix of spending cuts, revenue increases, and changes to grow our economy, which is the most important thing we've got to do. We offered more compromises. We took things off the table in hopes of getting an agreement. Our budget director convened a bipartisan working group to craft a balanced budget. I want to say thank you to the courageous and principled members of the General Assembly, Democrats and Republicans in both chambers, who worked together to find a grand bargain, get a balanced budget with changes. You nearly reached an agreement last spring. But once again, the possibility of compromise fell victim to partisan divides. By the end of the last legislative session, the majority in the General Assembly couldn't agree on any kind of budget, balanced or not balanced. This isn't about pointing fingers or assigning blame. We are where we are. It's not about the past. It's about how we move forward together. It's not going to help us move forward together if right after this speech, Democrats run to the media claiming we've never proposed a balance of the budget. And it's not going to help us move forward if Republicans run to the media to point out that the Democratic legislature majority never has passed a balanced budget. It's not going to help. People want to see us get something done, to get a balanced budget. To get a balanced budget that changes our broken system, to grow more jobs and better support our schools so they're the best in America in every community. So today, we're here once again with our hand outstretched. Leaders, members of the General Assembly, between ongoing budget negotiations in the Senate and all of our leaders acknowledging the need for change, there is good reason for optimism. I am deeply optimistic. Now is the time to take the next step and get the job done. Some people argue we should just cut our way out of our budget problems. Others believe we should simply raise taxes and declare the budget crisis solved. But we can't tax our way to prosperity. It's not possible. Nor can we just cut our way to a better future. We must grow our way to the future that we want. Growth is the solution. Growth means jobs. Growth means expanding revenues. Growth means the economy expands faster than government spending. Growth means a sustainable future where job creation surges and our schools are the envy of the world. Some people think spending cuts are too hard, that economic changes are too difficult. Just raise taxes, call it a day. Let's be clear, we cannot tax our way to a long-term balanced budget. It won't happen. Illinois residents and job creators are already saddled with the highest property taxes in America and the fifth highest overall tax burden in the country. We've tried raising taxes to balance the budget before without making structural changes to control spending and grow the economy. It has never worked. Taxing our way to a balanced budget only increases the speed, the exodus of jobs and families leaving Illinois. This is an unacceptable option for any of us, for members of either political party. Now, I have said many times that I will consider new revenue increases, if we stand together to make the job-creating changes that we need. But structural changes to spending are absolutely essential to balance the budget and keep it balanced. Today, over 60% of the state's general revenues, roughly $20 billion, are locked up by statute. No governor can effectively reduce spending until we address automatic spending categories like pensions, Medicaid, and transfers out. Ultimately, it's all about jobs. Our future depends on offering strong schools and vast job opportunities, thousands of new job opportunities across our state, in every county, in every community. By becoming more competitive with our neighbors, by creating good jobs, not only in Chicago, but in Rockford, Moline, Peoria, Decatur, Galesburg, Quincy, Carbondale, in every community across our state. by giving our families and our job creators good reason to come and stay in Illinois. If we do those things, if we grow our economy, if we become more competitive, more attractive, Illinois will see immediate results. And I've talked to dozens of firms that want to come here. They would love to come here if we change our direction. Our state will be a destination for families and employers from across the country and around the world. Today, we present you with a balanced budget that shows what is possible if we all come together on a comprehensive approach on our finances and on our job creation, on our competitiveness. Our proposal for the coming fiscal year focuses on the future. It shows how Illinois can be more compassionate if we become more competitive. While proposing economic changes, it also focuses on the fabric of our society, investing in schools, public safety, criminal justice reform, and human services. We propose record level of funding for our schools. We supported our K-12 schools at an unprecedented level in the last school year, and then we came back and did even more for this school year. Let's begin to implement the recommendations of the School Funding Reform Commission to make sure every child gets a shot at the American dream, no matter where they live. Let's increase our general state aid and funding to other programs that benefit all schools. Education is the cornerstone of our future, and this investment will pay great dividends in the long run. We propose that for the first time since 2010, the state fully fund regular transportation costs for schools around the state, enabling them to get kids to and from career and technical education programs. School districts shouldn't have to scramble to find a way to pay for transportation costs. Our budget ends this proration once and for all. Our proposal increases funding for English learners and early childhood education. It maximizes important federal dollars that build technology infrastructure in our schools. When it comes to higher education, we understand the hardship being felt by students who rely on state assistance to go to college. That's why we're proposing a 10% increase to MAP grant funding, so those students can focus on learning and not on their next tuition bill. Our budget prioritizes public safety and proposes funding for two Illinois State Police cadet classes, adding new troopers to our law enforcement ranks. Those officers will allow us to send more patrols to the Chicago area, to the expressways, to counter the violence that has spilled over onto the highways there. Today we're very fortunate. We're joined by Illinois State Police Director Leo Schmitz, Captain Chris Campbell, and Lieutenant Freddie Outlaw of the Illinois State Police. Please join me in thanking them for their great service. You're the best state police in America. Best police in America. We owe the wonderful police officers of Illinois every support, every confidence, incredible public servants putting their safety on the line to keep our families safe. We recognize the growing danger of opioid abuse across our state, and we highlight the need for a comprehensive strategy, prevention, interdiction, and treatment, education, law enforcement, and human services, state, local, and federal partnerships. This is a crisis, and we need to confront it head on before we lose more young lives. We look to build upon our recent accomplishments in criminal justice reform that we've done together on a bipartisan basis, and thank you for that. We propose full funding for the Kewaunee and Murfreesboro Correctional Life Skills and Reentry Centers so that they can offer educational and job readiness courses to help better prepare offenders to leave custody, find jobs, live on their own, and get a second chance in life. We fully fund mental health facilities in Joliet and Elgin and provide the necessary support for residential treatment centers in Pontiac, Logan, and Dixon. We know the challenges facing human services. It's why our proposal increases support for child care and other programs that assist children, senior citizens, and our other most vulnerable residents. We continue to support our efforts to reduce children's exposure to lead in paint and drinking water, and financially support those efforts. We recommend full funding for home visiting and early intervention programs. We propose a continued transformation of the Department of Children and Family Services by hiring additional employees to work solely on child protection and compliance monitoring of programs. And we look to strengthen services for the men and women who've put their lives on the line for our nation by delivering startup funding for a new Illinois veterans home in Chicago. Our transportation network is one of Illinois' greatest assets, and it is a primary reason why job creators choose to make our state home. This year, we propose increasing the road program at the Illinois Department of Transportation by $200 million so that we can continue to be a leader in moving people and products throughout America and reinforce the message that Illinois is a great place to invest and expand. At the same time, we look to fund long overdue maintenance and repairs at state facilities and invest in our technology transformation to ensure that state government becomes more efficient, responsive, and transparent for the people we serve. Our spending proposals are significant. But if we came together under our proposal, if we came together on a grand bargain, together on a bipartisan basis, we'd actually spend $3 billion less every year than government is currently spending. In order to achieve those results, we propose a number of changes inside state government to improve services and save taxpayer money. Pension reforms, in addition to President Cullerton's consideration model, can save us $1 billion right off the bat. A new hybrid pension Tier 3 plan could give new employees more options while saving the state money. If we do nothing, we can expect our pension costs will grow by more than $1 billion in just this next year alone. Those payments put an unsustainable strain not only on our pension systems, but our state's ability to pay for our schools and our critical human services. We must act, and time is of the essence. We will continue to pursue improvements in our state employee contracts to make reasonable changes, like moving state employees from a 37.5-hour to a 40-hour work week before overtime kicks in. And we'll base employee pay on merit, not just seniority. We have successfully negotiated contracts with similar parameters with 20 labor unions in state government. And we'll continue to seek these common sense changes throughout our state government. We must address the accelerating cost of state employee and retiree health insurance. It's a big problem. Most Illinois families have seen their health insurance premiums skyrocket over the years. Business owners across Illinois and around the country are forced to make hard decisions to manage soaring health care costs. So imagine what Illinois families think when they hear our state employees get Cadillac or platinum coverage, but barely pay more than bronze rates for it. We cannot continue to ask taxpayers to pay more to subsidize state employee health care when they're seeing their own premiums go up and coverage go down. Our state employees should have good health care options just like everyone else. It is reasonable that they pay for those options in line with everyone else, with the taxpaying families across Illinois. Bringing the state employee health insurance program more in line with the private sector would save our state more than $500 million. There are other opportunities for budget savings. We need to cut the red tape in how the state buys goods and services. It's time to implement best practices and take advantage of cooperative purchasing opportunities to ensure taxpayers get the biggest bang for their buck. Procurement reform could save us hundreds of millions of dollars next year alone. Together, we can move forward. We must move forward with selling the James R. Thompson Center. The JRTC occupies an entire city block of prime real estate in the Chicago Loop. And for years, the state has failed to properly maintain the building. We now face deferred maintenance costs in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Everyone in the state would benefit from the sale. The city of Chicago would gain major new property tax revenue and jobs, thousands of jobs that come from a massive new development. The state could see a net gain of over $200 million from the sale of the property, helping us close the budget deficit in the next fiscal year. Every day, we're implementing efficiencies in education, criminal justice, health, and human service programs, and information technology that improve outcomes and save us money. These savings are significant. These efficiencies will make a difference. But nothing, I repeat, nothing is more important than creating more jobs, more good-paying careers in the state of Illinois. We've made our top priority clear from the very beginning, driving real change to move the needle on job creation in our state. The only way to keep budgets balanced in the future is to ensure economic growth outpaces growth in government spending. Together, let's look at each regulation that we have, at every law we pass, and ask ourselves a simple question. How does this impact job creators? Is the benefit of this rule worth the cost in lost jobs? That's the essential question that can guide our decisions here in this chamber, in our government, every day. Job creators and relocation firms tell us that rooting out fraud and abuse from the workers' compensation system and getting our highest in the country property taxes under control are two of the most important ways to make Illinois more competitive, more attractive for job creators. Very high workers' comp insurance costs in the private sector continue to drive businesses out of our state. And in the public sector, in government, high workers' comp costs contribute to higher property taxes. Changes are necessary to attract employers, create new jobs, and save taxpayers money. We will never stop working to get term limits and redistricting on the ballot in Illinois, to send a message to job creators across the country that our state is doing things differently than we have in the past. These changes are necessary to producing long-term balanced budgets and long-term financial stability. They are the items that can ensure Illinois not only survives, but thrives for generations to come. As we've said many times, there's no one single bullet, no one single must-have for our administration. But for the future of our state, change must be real, not just a newspaper headline. Senate President Cullerton, Leader Redonio, and Senate lawmakers have shown tremendous leadership in bringing all parties together to find common ground on a combination of spending cuts, new revenue, and changes that will create jobs and ensure long-term balanced budget. Thank you. Thank you for that. Standing here 3 weeks ago, I encouraged you to keep working, to never give up. And you've done just that. The people of Illinois owe you a debt of gratitude for your persistence to try to get a compromise done. We've made a point of letting the Senate move forward, trying not to disrupt the momentum, disrupt the process. But I'd like to take a few minutes now, today, to help guide the negotiations to a place where Democrats and Republicans hopefully can reach agreement very soon. And I can affirm my support for the package. First and foremost, the final result must be a good deal for taxpayers and job creators. A grand bargain that fully, truly balances the budget once and for all and really moves the needle when it comes to job creation. A good deal for taxpayers lays the foundation for balanced budgets for years to come. The budget must truly balance by the end of fiscal year 2018. And it must balance in a way that doesn't send us right back into deficit a few years from now. That means a hard cap on spending, a real cap on spending that forces state government to live within its means, balance the budget, and pay off the state's debt. Spending reductions in the budget need to be real, not smoke and mirrors. Long-term pension reform needs to maximize savings in all our pension systems, not just a few. As for revenue, we've always said that we consider new revenue if it comes with changes that create jobs and grow the economy. The current Senate proposal calls for a permanent increase in the income tax, but offers only a temporary property tax freeze in exchange. That's just not fair to hardworking taxpayers across the state of Illinois. We need a permanent property tax freeze here, just like the one the House passed last month. Over time, as our economy grows and revenues expand, any increase in the income tax, We got a paper copy? Thanks. Wow, I don't have my reading glasses for this. Thank you. I'm a little old for this type. I think we're cranking down to it. He's coming back. Anybody got a good story? I'm not a good singer, so I won't try that. I'll clear out the chamber really fast if I tried that. Speaker said it's the Russians. Harry, you're going too far, I think. Is that where we are? Gotta look about where it was at. Oh no, he's good. Keep going. Keep going. Right there. Let's go back just a line. Okay, all right. Recess is over. As for revenue, we've always said that we consider revenue if it comes with changes that create jobs and grow the economy. The current Senate proposal calls for a permanent increase for the income tax, but a temporary property tax freeze. That's not fair. Not a reasonable thing to do. We need a permanent property tax freeze in Illinois, just like the one the House passed last month. Over time, as our economy grows and revenues expand, any increase in the income tax could be stepped down, dedicating future surpluses to taxpayers, not more government spending. The current Senate proposal would expand the state's sales tax to cover everyday services and raise taxes on food and drugs. We're open to a broader sales tax base to mirror neighboring states like Wisconsin. But let's make sure it's best for the people of Illinois, not for the lobbyists here in Springfield. We cannot raise taxes on people's groceries and medicine. Just as we cannot tax people's retirement income. We can find a way to balance the budget without hurting low-income families and fixed-income seniors. We must all support raising the earned income tax credit to help low-income families. And we must support making the research and development tax credit permanent to encourage innovation and job creation in Illinois. Most importantly, a good deal for taxpayers comes with economic and regulatory changes that are significant enough for job creators to get excited about the future of Illinois. Term limits get job creators excited. Passing term limits, now you should ask them, I have. Passing term limits is one of the most important things we can do to send a positive recruiting message to job creators. It's a new day in Illinois. We've turned the corner. Workers' comp changes get job creators excited. We must get our workers' comp. We must get our workers' compensation costs in line with other states. We're asking for a workers' compensation system that's like Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a blue state with a strong middle class, and it's growing. And they've changed their workers' comp so they're now average in the country for costs. This is doable, ladies and gentlemen, and it's reasonable, and it protects employees and employers. Now, these parameters aren't controversial, or they sure shouldn't be. They're right in line with what Democrats and Republicans have said they agree with. And while the Senate package is still evolving, it wouldn't be that hard to reach a good deal for taxpayers. I firmly believe that we can come to agreement on these issues. And I pledge to you that I will sign that good deal for taxpayers the minute it arrives at my desk. This is now a question of political will. I know I'm willing. I hope you are too. As we discussed last month, Illinois faces incredible challenges. But those challenges also provide unprecedented opportunity for a better future. We are at a crossroads. If we work together and make the right decisions now, the potential of our state is unlimited. Let's put Illinois back on the road to prosperity. Let's do what we were sent here to do. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your public service. God bless our great state of Illinois. May God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you.